بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Today inshallah ta'ala we're going to start a series of lessons regarding an affair which is extremely important regarding the creed the aqeedah of a Muslim. The book that insha'Allah ta'ala we will go through is Shurut La Ilaha Illallah, the conditions of the statement or the testification of La Ilaha Illallah. Now, originally the book was written by Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And the explanation that we are going to go through is the explanation of Sheikh Al-Allama Ubaid Al-Jabiri Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, who resides currently in Al-Madinah. And he is a former teacher at the Islamic University of Al-Madinah. And the Sheikh, mashallah, he is well known amongst the scholars. And he is well known as well amongst the Tulab al-Ilm, the students of knowledge, which who currently sit with him and benefit from his knowledge. Now this statement of La ilaha illallah is known as the statement of Tawheed, or the statement of sincerity, or the key to paradise. The key to paradise. Now it's a statement that we say. It is an utterance that we make regarding Tawheed, which affirms the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal and His uniqueness. Now why are we sitting down here today and going through conditions of La ilaha illallah? If a person questions and says, why is that important? Is there anything in the religion that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned? Or is there something in the Quran that has given this statement La ilaha illallah certain virtues, certain status that we must learn about La ilaha illallah? Is there something deeper that we need to know about this? What is the importance? And we say, yes, this statement indeed, it is very important. It is extremely important that a Muslim understands these affairs, these matters, and relating to its conditions, relating to the meaning, a true meaning of La ilaha illallah. And from them, from those virtues, from those evidences that will prove to you or show you the importance of this statement, is first and foremost that this is the testification which is the foundation of the religion, as it is the first and the highest pillar of Al-Islam. It is the first and the highest pillar of Al-Islam, as in the famous hadith of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. Ibn Umar, the companion of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the son of Umar al-Faruq radiyallahu anhuma, he states and he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Islam is built upon five things. And the first one he mentions, shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the testification to La ilaha illallah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. So this hadith, brothers and sisters, it shows us the importance of La ilaha illallah, that it is the first and the highest pillar of Al-Islam. And after that, the hadith continues and mentions the other four pillars of Al-Islam. So it shows us the high status and the virtue of that statement, La ilaha illallah, being the highest and the first pillar of Al-Islam. Also, the statement La ilaha illallah is a statement by which a person enters into the religion of Al-Islam. If a person wants to enter into Al-Islam, first and foremost, they must understand La ilaha illallah, so they understand the foundation, the principles of this religion that they are accepting. And he said the shahada, and the shahada in it comprises of La ilaha illallah. So therefore they need to understand this testification that they make before they enter into Al-Islam, which shows again the importance of this statement. It is something which enters a person into Al-Islam. Also, this testification of La ilaha illallah, it is the best statement that all of the prophets have ever said. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, خَيْرٌ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best statement that I and all of the previous prophets have said, the best statement that I and the previous prophets have said, he said, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa ala kulli shayin qadir. The first part of the best statement that they ever said is the testification of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, and that he has no partners. Lahul mulk, to him belongs the dominion. Wa lahul hamd, to him belongs all praise. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and he is able to do all things. So this, brothers and sisters, it shows us the importance of this statement. If it is something that is from the best statement, that from the best people worked on the face of the earth ever said. And also, brothers and sisters, it is a statement, it is the first statement that a person calls to when they are calling to Al-Islam. In a hadith, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Mu'adh to Yemen to call the people to Al-Islam. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed Mu'adh with an important instruction before he left. And in that instruction, the first thing he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلُ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Let it be the first thing that you call them to is the testification of La ilaha illallah, and that I am, or that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. No, it is, brothers and sisters, from the first of affairs that a Muslim calls to, the first of affairs that a Muslim explains to a non-Muslim. Because this, brothers and sisters, this statement is from the foundation and the principles of Al-Islam, from the aqidah, the foundations of the aqidah, the belief of a Muslim. So it is from the first thing that a person must understand. Not politics, that those who call them to politics, the first things they speak about politics, they try to put feelings of hate or love, etc., into the hearts of people. This is not the way, it is not the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his da'wah, as we understand from this hadith. And also, from the virtues of this statement, La ilaha illallah, that it is a statement which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us that we should instruct the dying Muslim to say. The dying Muslim, I need to say these last words. Let this be his last or her last words. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Laqinu mawtakum la ilaha illallah. Laqinu mawtakum la ilaha illallah. Instruct your dying folk, meaning instruct the dying Muslim to say La ilaha illallah. Clearly, brothers and sisters, in this hadith we see and we understand that this statement has a great implication. That this statement has a great implication. If it is from the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this statement should be the last statement of a dying Muslim. It should be the last thing that he thinks about and he says. Clearly, the statement, I mean, this statement has a high virtue. It has a great implication in the life of a Muslim. And also, this statement is from the highest, is the highest part of Iman. As we know from the Aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, that we believe that Iman has different parts. It increases and decreases. And this is according to the evidences. And this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'ba. He said that Iman has 70 odd parts. فَأَفْضَلُهَا قَوْلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the best part, and the best part of it is the saying of La ilaha illallah. And in another riwayah, he said, فَأَعْلَاهَا قَوْ لَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. From the highest part of it, from the highest part of it is the saying of La ilaha illallah. So we see that this statement has a direct link to our Iman and to our understanding of Iman. And from the Salaf, a statement from the Salaf to see, for us to understand that the previous Muslims, the early Muslims, that they had a great respect for this statement, that they showed importance for this statement. It was said, أَنَّهُ قِيلَ لِوَهْبِ إِبْنُ مُنَبِّهِ. It was said to Wahb ibn Munabbih, أَلَيْسَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مِفْتَاحُ الْجَنَّةِ. He said to him, isn't La ilaha illallah the key to paradise? And he replied and he said, Bala, indeed. And he said, indeed. Walakin laysa miftahun illa walahu asnan. He said, indeed. But there is no key except that he has. And he cuts, he has teeth. There's ridges. Okay, the cuts that are made on the key. Every key is different, has different cuts to fit different locks and different doors. So he said, indeed, there is no key except that it has these ridges, these cuts. فَإِنْ جِئْتَ بِمِفْتَاحٍ لَهُ أَسْنَانٍ فُتِحَ لَكَ. If you come with a key, meaning on the day of judgment, if you come with a key, or with the key which has the asnan, these cuts and ridges, okay, futihalak, then it will be open for you, meaning the door to paradise will be open to you. Wa illa lam yuftah lak. And if not, then it will not be opened for you. So here, there is the similarity that is being made here and regarding the ridges or the cuts on the key. This has the meaning of the conditions of La ilaha illallah. So if you come on the day of judgment with La ilaha illallah, and that is the key to paradise, and you've come with its conditions, and these are the riches and the cuts in the key or the teeth of the key. Therefore, you will be successful. But if you come and with la ilaha illallah and you have not fulfilled its conditions, you have not acted by it, you have not lived by it, you've just said it, and it wasn't in your heart, lam yuftah lak, as it is clarified, and he won't be open for you. So again here, brothers and sisters, we understand that this statement has a great implication in our religion, in our worldly life, okay, and our standing as well on the day of judgment. So therefore we must understand it correctly, and we must fulfill what it requires from us. So from the start and of the explanation of Sheikh Ubaid hafidhahullah ta'ala, he starts his explanation by explaining the word shurut. Shurut la ilaha illallah, conditions of la ilaha illallah. And he says that linguistically, and his shurut is in the plural form. Okay, shurut, conditions, is in plural form. And the singular form of it is shart, condition, and his shart. And he says that linguistically, in the Arabic language, it means any alama, means a sign. Okay, a condition in the Arabic language, it means alama, any a sign. So here we put together that, of course, any this book will teach a person any those signs that will inform you if you understand and are living by this statement correctly. If not, then this book will teach you how to, inshallah, meaning by following the conditions to make sure that you are fulfilling any the rights of la ilaha illallah, and the conditions of la ilaha illallah. And Sheikh Ubaid says, and the Islamic meaning that is intended here, and yet these conditions, it means what is imperative and or compulsory upon a person to know and act upon and live by, so that they may be a muwahhid, a monotheist, inwardly and outwardly. And inwardly and outwardly, the actions and of the heart, inwardly and outwardly as well, the actions of the limbs. So these conditions and of la ilaha illallah, they are matters, they are things that you need to know. It is obligatory and imperative upon a Muslim to know, so that he may become a true monotheist, a true ani muwahhid, and so that he can live ani by this. So therefore, and this is crucially important, and because we are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and instructed by our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this, and to be people living upon Tawheed, by Tawheed. And la ilaha illallah is the statement of Tawheed. And la ilaha illallah is that statement of Tawheed. That statement, that fundamental statement which makes you understand the core of Tawheed, the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it comprises of that we worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and that we ascribe to Him that which is unique to Him, that which has been mentioned by Him and by His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for this to become true for a person and accepted by Allah, that person needs to follow only the last Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and live by his teachings. And that has been sent, and that has been set out in the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, a way to look at these and the condition is in the form of rights. And indeed, these are from the rights of the statement of Tawheed, things that we need to fulfill. And he writes, you must fulfill to truly and correctly act upon and live by. Therefore, this statement requires from you these things that will be discussed, inshallah ta'ala. It is not enough that we only say and utter it, but there are other very important aspects and of it that every Muslim must fulfill. And in this lesson, inshallah, we're going to discuss any one of these conditions. One of these conditions of La ilaha illallah. And the Shaykh, he mentions to the first condition of La ilaha illallah, al-ilmu bima'naha nafyan wa ithbata. Al-ilmu bima'naha nafyan wa ithbata. This means the first condition of La ilaha illallah is to have knowledge of its true meaning, what it negates and what it affirms. Knowledge of its meaning, what it negates and what it affirms. So of course, brothers and sisters, you will see how it is befitting that the first condition is about the meaning of La ilaha illallah, that you understand this meaning, and afterwards you understand the other conditions that will help you to apply this statement correctly in your lives. Now, La ilaha illallah, and it consists of two parts. Okay? Two parts. So this first condition, and in this first condition, it explores, examines and investigates what this statement and it consists of, and regarding the meaning, and regarding and the meaning that it what it brings about, the meaning that it brings about and affirms. So these two parts, brothers and sisters, La ilaha and then illallah. The first part is a general negation. The first part, La ilaha, is a general negation. And the second part, illallah, is a specific affirmation. Is a specific affirmation. So Sheikh Ubaid says, and he regarding this, and he two parts, and he starts and he speaks about the first part. And he says, the first part of this statement, and he meaning La ilaha, comprises of negating worship from everything besides Allah. Negating worship and if from everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the Shaykh is clarifying an important part of the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And in that first part, negating something, is negating something about the word ilah. Is negating something about the word ilah. And ilah in the Arabic language, it means ma'bud. Ilah means something that is worshipped. Okay, a deity. And it's something that is taken as a god. It could be anything. For example, a person takes something as a deity. He worships that thing alongside Allah. He worships that thing and he places his servitude to it. And it's something they believe, or a person believes, that that thing has a divine quality. It's a divine being, for example. Okay, so this is the meaning of ilah, a deity. Something that is worshipped. Something that is worshipped. It could be anything. Something that is worshipped is taken as a deity. Is taken as a deity by that person. So what is negated here is, and not that things are not worshipped besides Allah, or that there is no deity besides Allah, because there are other deities. Even if they are false deities, there are deities, and in respect to the people and who worship them or take them as deities. So what is being negated here, brothers and sisters, is the right of worship. What is being negated here about deities, the other false deities, is the right of worship. And the fact that they have no right to be worshipped in every sense. In every sense. And لا معبود بحق. لا معبود بحق. That there is no deity worthy of worship in truth. No deity worthy of worship. And he meaning, if they are not worthy of worship, that they do not have a single quality or divine quality or status that gives them a right to be worshipped. And that includes the prophets and the messengers, even though they are from the most honorable of Allah's creation, they do not possess divine qualities. Therefore, they do not have the right of worship. The right of worship, it is not theirs because they have no status which gives them that right. They have no quality which gives them that right, even if they are from the most honorable of Allah's creation. Now, would it be correct to say that the meaning of La ilaha illallah, that there is no deity except Allah, or that there is no God except Allah? And if this translation of La ilaha illallah is incorrect, as what we have learned here now, that there are other deities besides Allah, they are false deities. In the eyes of those who worship them, they are their deities. They are their deities. So for a person to translate or say that the meaning of La ilaha illallah means there is no God besides Allah, or there is no God except Allah, or that there is no deity except Allah, is an incorrect understanding and is an incorrect translation. And because people worship others besides Allah, they take other deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they are false deities. So this first part, the negation, it is important. It is a very, very important part. And Sheikh Ubaid, he mentions that he Allah, he is al-haq. He is al-haq. And he has no partner, no helper, no associate in his dominion, in his creating. When he decides to create, when he chooses to create something, in his control and disposing of the affairs of his creation, he has nothing. He has nothing or no one who assists him. No one who has a share in his dominion or has control, who has a form of control. Therefore, if that is the case, and the reality, then he Allah without doubt has no partner, no associate in his worship. In the worship, meaning the worship that is performed to him, there should be nothing or no one who is given a share of his worship, since he Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the only one. Now another point to make here to show the importance of that negation, that first part of negation. If I said that Zayd is in the masjid, now does that mean that there's only one person in the masjid that is called Zayd? This statement, does it mean that it is only Zayd that is in the masjid? Okay, if I say Zayd is in the masjid, does that mean that there is nobody else? No. Okay, this statement does not negate that there is nobody else. It just affirms that Zayd is in the masjid. But Ali could be in the masjid. Umar could be in the masjid. All at the same time. Okay, all at the same time. So, there's a negation that I need to add to my statement to say, I need to specify that it is only Zayd that it is in the masjid. Okay? That is only and Zayd. So in my first statement, Zayd is in the masjid, there is an uncertainty there. That other people might be there. Okay? There is a form of uncertainty. Therefore, a negation is needed. I need to exclude everybody else apart and from Zayd himself. So he, for example, now, if I say there is no one in the masjid except Zayd, there is no one in the masjid except Zayd. Now, does that statement now mean that is only Zayd in the masjid? Yeah. It excludes everybody else. Okay, it means that it is only Zayd that is in the masjid. There is nobody else. There is nobody else in the masjid with Zayd. Okay, so he showing importance of negation. Because if a person says, I worship Allah, does that statement negate that that person totally does not worship anything else besides Allah? And you know, that statement by itself, it does not exclude that. It does not exclude. So you will see some precision in the statement of La ilaha illallah, how it basically affirms the meaning that is intended in there. So in our religion, brothers and sisters, our religion in our Sharia, there is no uncertainty in the matter of Tawheed. There is no uncertainty in the meaning of La ilaha illallah. This statement with the negation and the affirmation does not leave any other possible thoughts in a person's mind to what it could mean. Okay? What it excludes and what it includes. Except, of course, for those who clearly turn their backs to this meaning that is intended, and they create other meanings because they want a meaning which fits their own aqidah, their own belief that they've made up themselves. So in the religion, regarding the affair of Tawheed, that is a precision in the meaning that negates and affirms. So this statement, brothers and sisters, it negates that there is no deity worthy of worship. And then it comes with an affirmation, which is illallah, meaning except Allah. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this statement clarifies that there is no deity worthy of worship in truth except Allah. There is no deity worthy of worship in truth except Allah. Meaning, there is nothing that is taken as a deity and worshipped, which has the worthiness to be worshipped except Allah. And which has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except Allah azza wa jal. And in this statement, this meaning is in a meaning which is precise. It does not live in the mind of a Muslim that others could be, should be worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the meaning excludes all of the false deities, excludes their worthiness of worship, and it only affirms it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is the correct meaning according to the Arabic language, okay, and according to the evidences. There is a meaning, and that a group, Jama'at al-Tabligh, they explain the meaning of La ilaha illallah to be Ikhraj al-Yaqeen al-Fasid min al-Qalb wa Idkhal al-Yaqeen al-Sahih ala Dhatillah أن لا خالق إلا الله ولا رازق إلا الله ولا مدبر إلا الله. They say that la ilaha illallah means that you take out the false uncertainty from the hearts and you put the correct certainty in it. And regarding Allah, that there is no creator except Allah, there is no sustainer except Allah, and that there is no controller or disposer of affairs except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, of course, there is no creator except Allah. There is no sustainer except Allah. There is no any controller or disposer of affairs except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this meaning should not be attributed to La ilaha illallah, because this statement, as the scholars mention, and this meaning comprises of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. It deals with the affairs of the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. While it's the statement of La ilaha illallah, the true meaning deals with Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the Tawheed of Allah's any worship. Allah's any worship. And of course, any Jama'at al-Tabligh, their origin is from Sufism, and they have grave worship. So of course, and you can understand the link, why they would try to run away from the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, because it affirms worship for Allah Azza wa Jal and it alone. And then, and Shaykh Ubayd, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, and he mentions some of the evidences from the Quran, evidences that the prophets and messengers of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the messenger of Allah and Azza wa Jal, that their call and their da'wah was in agreement with this, and with this meaning of La ilaha illallah. And the Shaykh, he is proving as well that their call and da'wah had that affirmation and that negation. For example, one of the evidences, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِيَ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and I have not sent a messenger from before you, except that we revealed to him, that there is no deity worthy of worship except me, so worship me. So here in this, and you see the affirmation and negation, that there is no deity worthy of worship except me, so worship me. And also, Nuh and Hud and Salih, they said, and this as well has affirmation and negation, Ya qawmi, u'budullah, ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. He said, oh my people, worship Allah, and you do not have an ilah besides him. You do not have an ilah any besides him. Here again, affirmation and negation. The affirmation to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to negate the false deities besides Allah. And also, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. and we have sent in every nation a messenger saying and proclaiming, "Ubudullah, worship Allah, wajtanibut taghut, and stay away from the false and the deities, and refrain from the false and the deities." And also from Ibrahim alayhi salam al-Khalil, that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran regarding him, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنِّي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ. And when Ibrahim said to his father and his people, "Indeed, I am free from that which you worship. I am free from that which you worship." This is the negation. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ. Except the one who created me, for indeed he shall guide me. And that is the affirmation. The affirmation, I mean, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And also, from what Allah Azza wa Jal instructed our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform his ummah, his people. And he says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. And your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him. You worship none but Him. That you worship none, negation, but Him, affirmation. And he's similar to the statement of La ilaha illallah. And he also said, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And worship Allah and do not ascribe any partners to Him. Meaning, do not ascribe any partners in worship and to Him. Now, something I want to add that will affirm again. And if there's any other doubt regarding the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the idol worshippers, they believed that Allah is the creator, the sustainer, and the controller of the affairs. They believed in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. They affirmed that Allah's lordship, Allah's actions of creating, controlling their affairs, giving them sustenance, providing sustenance for them. They believed in that. And there are many evidence in the Quran that prove this. And one of them, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them, O Muhammad, if you ask them, who created them? They will say Allah. They will say Allah. So they themselves, they affirm the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, you will be successful. And you will be successful. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed them with that, to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Did they say it? No. They didn't want to utter the statement of La ilaha illallah. Now, if La ilaha illallah meant that Allah is the creator, the sustainer, and the controller of the affairs, as the previous meaning we mentioned, then they would have said it. They would have said La ilaha illallah without any problem, because it affirmed what they already believed. But they refrained from saying it. And they refrained from saying it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And when they were told to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ and يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ, they turn away with arrogance and pride. Why did they turn away in arrogance and pride? Why did they refuse to say it? Because they understood the implication of that statement. They understood what that statement required from them. And as in Allah, in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they said, and the idol worshippers, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهَ وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. They said, has he made our gods into one god? Indeed, that is something that is strange. That is, and is strange. So they believed that Allah was the creator, sustainer, and controller of the affairs. And they stayed away from saying La ilaha illallah because they understood its meaning. That it did not mean to say that Allah is the creator, the sustainer, and the controller of the affairs. That it meant that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And they had their hearts attached to the worship of false deities besides Allah. They worship idols, they worship the graves, they worship the trees, etc., etc., etc. As it mentioned in this verse, they said, "Aja'ala al-alihata," that he made our gods, ilahan wahida, into one God. Meaning, now should we focus our worship only to one God, one deity, and live off all of these deities? In hadha la shay'un ujab, for them that was something which is strange. Something which is strange. So those Arabs in that time, they understood that meaning of La ilaha illallah, that is relating the Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, the Tawheed of Allah's worship. That they had to give up the worship of their false deities and their false idols and focus their worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Now the Shaykh, he then says, and in all of these verses, and that which gives the same meaning from the noble Quran is clearly indicating that all of the prophets and messengers called their people to actualize the meaning of La ilaha illallah, to understand, to actualize, and to be in compliance with La ilaha illallah, that there is no deity that is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we know, brothers and sisters, we cannot actualize and be in total compliance with something in our belief and in our actions, in our speech, if or unless we have a complete understanding and knowledge of it. So this is not an affair that we should be negligent of. It's not an affair that we should give less priority to. Indeed, it should be our utmost priority, our desire to learn tawheed and to be in compliance with it, and that we have been created for it, and that the true belief stems from it. And this is what we need to put in our hearts and in the hearts of our children. I need to be firm and solid upon this, to have a sincere determination in learning it and in applying it in our lives. Because everything that a person cherishes or is important to a person, it depends on it. Your hereafter depends on it. Your children's hereafter depends on it. So do not let your worldly lives go to waste without establishing the matters that will make you truly successful in this world and the next. And then after mentioning these evidences which shows the meaning of La ilaha illallah and supports the meaning of La ilaha illallah, that there is no deity worthy of worship in truth except Allah, then the Shaykh continues and he mentions evidences that show that to have knowledge of La ilaha illallah is a condition of it. Evidences that show that to have knowledge of La ilaha illallah is a condition, and it is something that is compulsory upon us. And he mentions the verse, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "I'lam annahu la ilaha illallah." Yeah, have knowledge. Allah says, have knowledge, know that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And you know and have knowledge of La ilaha illallah. This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he proves that it is an obligation upon a Muslim to seek the true knowledge of La ilaha illallah, as it is a clear command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he therefore one of his conditions that is binding upon you. Then the Shaykh, he mentioned certain points, from Shaykh Abdurrahman Sa'di rahimahullahu ta'ala, about knowledge and how to acquire knowledge, about this statement La ilaha illallah. What are the things that a person can do to make them understand and ilaha ilaha illallah, make them understand further this meaning. And he says, and he starts off by saying, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, and he says, knowledge should be accompanied with acknowledgement, and meaning compliance of the heart. And a person should know the meaning of what this knowledge requires and requests, and from him, and I mean request from him, and for him to do, and to complete and to protect, to perfect this, is that a person acts according to those and requisites of knowledge, meaning that they do and what is demanded and of them, and to fulfill this meaning of la ilaha illallah, and so that they can achieve or they can reach that specific and purpose. And this knowledge that Allah commands is the knowledge of Tawheed and the oneness of Allah. It is, and he says, the Shaykh, he says, it is an individual obligation and duty upon every single person. And no one is exempted. No one is exempted from it, whosoever they may be. And in whatever position or whatever status or rank a person has, even more than this, everyone is compelled and they are in dire need of this, meaning that knowledge of Tawheed, that knowledge of La ilaha illallah. Then the Shaykh, he mentions a few points regarding this, regarding the ways or the passage or the route to knowledge of La ilaha illallah, which bithnillahi ta'ala we shall mention in the next lesson, because it seems we are running out of time. So we will conclude upon this today. Wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.